Let's open in prayer.
Heavenly Father, I just ask this morning that as the word goes forth, that you elevate us and impart a deeper revelation of the vision for the true local church. And we ask, Father, that you just emblazon it upon our hearts so that we may truly enter into the fullness of our kingdom position in these days. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to start talking to you today about the vision for the glorious local church. And of course, everything that we've been talking about in the past number of years has been geared towards this very thing. But now I believe that the Father wants to establish this vision to a deeper degree in our heart. He's been teaching us the fundamental kingdom principles, faith, love, obedience, leading to holiness. And so now we're going to see some things. We're going to deal with some practical things here, and we're going to begin to look at the scope of the magnitude of the things that are about to pass. It's not something that can be comprehended in the natural. Those people who have tried have always fallen short and have ended up establishing their own work apart from God. So we must be a people who walk by revelation, who walk by obedience, who are rooted and grounded in love. And starting off, if you turn to Ephesians, actually, we need to have the revelation of our positioning in Christ instilled in our heart. Because if the Christian doesn't have that, they're not going to make it in this last hour. They're going to be found in a position far, far, far below the glory that God desires to manifest. So it's extremely important as we look at these scriptures in Ephesians 2, starting out, and get this revelation in our heart, no longer seeing ourselves as those who are in the world, but those who are in the kingdom. Starting in verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, if you just look at the simple tenses there in verse 6, is it a done work? Yes. That's something that has to be established in our heart, because it's not acceptable any longer, not that it ever was, that we could just look at the scriptures and mentally ascend in the sense that, oh, isn't that nice? Isn't that wonderful? Wish we could do that. No, this is our spiritual reality in Christ, and that needs to be burning in our heart in this last hour. The days are short now where the warnings are going to go forth to the church as far as coming into that place of perfect obedience, perfect positioning, and those who have been established in the true spiritual environments, God is getting ready to move forth in a great way, whatever that may mean, in whatever environment throughout the earth. So it's a time to be ready and stay ready, regardless of where we are and what we're called to. But there are many, many, many people who do not have a revelation of the fullness of the Father's plan. I mean, the beginning of the fullness that will release the fullness in their life. And thus, those who are in the true spiritual environments are going to be used powerfully to put that revelation forth. And every person is going to have an opportunity to make a decision. We're going to look at a scripture a little later on. So the key there, then, is to have that revelation that we are raised up with him in the heavenly places, seated with him in the heavenly places, rather, at the right hand of the Father. Extremely important spiritual positioning. That is the basis from which every other revelation and every other working in the true church is established. It's that simple. And so people are either going to have their eyes focused or fixed on Jesus, or they're going to have their eyes fixed on the world and its ways or its ends. And they're two different realms. And now the day has come where every Christian is going to have to decide whether they're going to be a true Christian, a true son or daughter, or whether they're going to take a little illegitimate position far below the glory of God. Just over the page to Ephesians 1. These are the days where spiritual reality is overtaking us. And it's the day, we're in the days where the sacred is overtaking the profane, and righteousness is moving into that realm that we live in and overtaking unrighteousness and exposing all things. I'm fully believing with an absolute faith that the time of preparation is over, and that we will be a people who are will be found to be have been mightily prepared by God to do great and mighty exploits. And this is the attitude we must have. There is no room for sin consciousness in the church, and every word that a believer speaks in doubt and unbelief is actually a denial of the blood of Jesus. And in a time where the Father has chosen to exalt the Word of God, to exalt the name of Jesus to the greatest degree he's ever been able to in the earth, we cannot be a people who are denying the blood of Jesus, because he's coming to judge that very thing. And of course we know that that is one of the prime, if not the prime, operation of the spirit of Antichrist, is to deny the blood of Jesus, cause people to deny that blood and therefore its power, and therefore he can keep them under his control. We need to be a people who are continually, by faith and by practical obedience, continually cleansed from all unrighteousness by the precious blood. Extremely important. I mean, it's God's empowerment that brings us into the position that we need to be in. That's why it's foolishness to worry. If we could be holy, we would have done it a long time ago. We can't, and we wouldn't have needed Jesus, which we do. So in Ephesians 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. So if people aren't faithful, they can stop reading right here, because everything that follows after this doesn't apply to the unfaithful or the disobedient. And he goes on to confirm it a couple of verses later here. He says, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, again, past tense, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In other words, everything that you need to fulfill everything you were created for has already been established for you in Christ in the heavenly places. It's our job to continually come up higher and remain in that position. I'm going to talk a little bit about the ascension life. That has nothing to do with mental ascension. It has to do with the ascension of the Lord into the place of the fullness of his authority. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. So if people aren't willing to walk in love, they can stop here also. Because these two things, an absolute faith working through a perfect love, manifesting in a perfect obedience, is what is going to establish the true church in the earth in this last hour. Nothing apart from that is going to remain. I think it's very easy to forget just how powerful our God is, and that he is capable of fulfilling exactly what he said, and he fully intends to. So we need to be ready. In Joel 3, 4, well, let's go to Joel quickly here. Again, a familiar scripture. I think that over the last 20 years, God has really been revealing through the apostles and prophets the scriptures in Joel. And, of course, it talks about many things, not the least of which he talks about the army of the Lord. And when we get down in chapter 3, verse 14, I'm not going to deal with a lot of scripture on this today, but this is an extremely important one for this moment. Verse 14 begins, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars lose their brightness, and the Lord roars from Zion. Again, we get a picture there of the deepest thought and intention of the Father's heart. It's to manifest himself fully. And when he does that, the church is going to roar. And utters his voice from Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is a type and symbol of the holy city. For us in the church, it's a type and symbol of a true spiritual environment. And the heavens and earth tremble, but the Lord is a refuge for his people and a stronghold to the sons of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. So Jerusalem will be holy, and strangers will pass through it no more. We'll talk about that a little bit later. I've mentioned before that it's the Father's desire that every last ground of unrighteousness be removed from the congregations of the righteous. What that means is the devil will not have an opportunity to work from within. That is a travesty and an abomination to God. It shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen in the midst of Christians. And it has up until this point. But in these days, God is establishing the purest of the pure. And consequently, we're going to see some things, and I'm going to go on to talk about that. So the fact is then that we have to picture ourselves as Zion, as true spiritual Zion, holy unto the Lord, and in that place is where he can do what he wants to do at any given moment, on an individual level or a corporate level. And as I go on to talk in the next few teachings probably, we're going to see some of these glorious things. We need to be elevated. We cannot look out on the church the way it is now, even on the so-called cutting edge, and accept that as being our final destination, or even a confirmation of the fullness of God's will. No, the fullness of God's will manifest through his children walking in perfect obedience, and the corporate power that comes, that's released from that, will be absolutely awesome. So again, I've talked many times about acclimatization. We need to be a people who are acclimatized to his presence. We need to be acclimatized in our thinking to the deepest thoughts and intentions of his heart. Because if we aren't, we will not understand in this last hour, and at the very least, we'll be paralyzed from carrying out the true work of God. We need to live and move and have our being in Christ. And to the degree that this corporate anointing is going to come forth, we need our hearts enlarged, again, our minds renewed so that we're in sync with him in physical positioning and in our spiritual positioning as far as heart attitude goes. Because then there'll be no hindrance, no limit to what God can do through us. And that's the position he's always wanted for his people, to be able to dwell in their midst and to speak with them, to fellowship with them, and also to carry out, of course, the fullness of his purpose, which, of course, is to devastate Satan and his forces and to set the multitudes free from the captivity that they've been in, even in the midst of his own house. Again, these things are an abomination to the Father, and we have to understand that he's already spoken that he is going to come and judge all things that are apart from Christ. And he's going to deal with the devil, and he's going to elevate his people in this earth so that the living Christ can be seen in his fullness. And these are the types of things we have to seek God day in and day out so that our minds are renewed. We cannot retain or maintain the status quo in any way. We need to be a people who are open to be elevated with each passing day. That is extremely important this last hour, because the conflict of the kingdoms is upon us, the final conflict. And consequently, it's all or nothing. But of course, God set that in motion when he said that we're to love him with all our heart anyway. So he knew that if one would have fixed themselves to obeying that command, then everything else would fall into place, and his power would be able to bring them and keep them in that place of perfect empowerment by his Spirit. Another important thing then in this hour, spiritual bearings. That refers to our kingdom position. We've talked a lot about spiritual environments, extremely important. Now, there's many, many true spiritual environments being established throughout the earth, and the ones I've seen all have a different calling, in the sense that the way it will manifest physically, but the principle is the same, and that is that they will simply be obeying God and allowing him to do, they will do their part, and then allowing him to bring all these different individual parts together corporately, and it always works that way. Individual obedience produces corporate obedience. Without individual obedience, you don't have corporate obedience. Even if you have a few good intentioned souls, it doesn't work that way. Again, God is a God of pinpoint accuracy, and he requires all. That's the bottom line. If people in this hour are going to take the attitude of rebellion against God by simply questioning his ways, questioning the absoluteness of the calling, then they will be lost into deep darkness, and they will not have a comprehension of what he's doing by their own choice. But of course, God is coming to judge the spirit of rebellion working in the midst of his people. So again, going back to that scripture in Joel, it is multitudes in the valley of decision. And he will, being a just God, he will provide the opportunity for them to make the right decision. They will have every advantage. So in other words, nobody's going anywhere except by their own choice in this last hour. We have to understand that the simplicity of the plan of God. This is why religious people get so fouled up. is because they're always thinking, always reaching out to try and grasp the will of God by their own strength. And this, of course, is a spirit of mental ascension and leads only to darkness. It opens the door to the devil to come in and establish mindsets and strongholds in their life that seem good, that seem right, but they're not. And they serve only to impart death and darkness. That death and darkness serves only to control God's people. And I'm going to talk a bit about the spirit of denominationalism here shortly. And, you know, it's amazing just how tolerant people have been throughout the years of denominations. Again, an abomination to the Father. There's no scriptural basis for it in the Bible at all. And yet it is the most widespread thing happening in the church, or has been up until this time. But now, as God begins to bring out his remnant, as he begins to establish his true church, that's why when I write, the Holy Spirit gives me the word true to put in front of the church. And if you'll notice another thing, when I write and I use the word church, there will be a capital C when God is referring to the glorious church, referring to what he's doing, what he's going to do in the church. And if he's referring to the sons of disobedience, then it will be a small C. It's just a small thing. It was really a thing that was for the renewing of my mind in the beginning. But now it's becoming quite evident that there is going to be a great separation and judgment. And, you know, it's really not acceptable even now at this point to say, well, you know, they've been out there in ignorance, and there's a reason for that. And yes, God will allow people a time of repentance, and he'll allow them, that there's a time for them to come to the true light that's shining, because God is and it's about to shine a lot brighter. So there is an opportunity. But those who have made their mind to hold to a steadfast control of their own life and ministry will go out into deep darkness and will be used in the Civil War. Again, I'm just touching on some things now. We're going to go into these things in more detail. I set myself to just go at the speed that God wants to go. And I am going to share the vision of the glorious local church that God gave me, in which you have written there. But everything that follows before that or follows after that is an extension of that vision, since he gave it to me in 97. And as a result of prayer before that for the glorious church. So the vision, I better not get ahead of myself here. Let's go over to Ephesians 5, back to Ephesians 5. I mean, really, there's no need to hurry on this, because for one thing, I'm just setting, putting forth seeds that will allow the spirit of wisdom and revelation when you're in your time with the Father and in the Word. And he can expand that the way it needs to be expanded to you personally. And the ultimate reality of this whole thing is that we're not going to be sitting around writing books about all the wonderful things that are going to happen. We're going to be walking it out, and then we're going to take that final step out of here. That's the spiritual reality behind it. So, you know, when I'm presenting this, I'm not presenting it as some sort of when I talk about the Father's plan, it's not some sort of handbook as to what's going to happen. It's just giving you the deepest thoughts and intentions of his heart and what he desires to establish and his promise to establish. But really what it is, we're going to walk out the fullness of our destiny in Christ and the fullness of his will for the church. It is an awesome thing. I really don't have words to describe it. I can go for about 20 seconds or so. And then, you know, I did that one day at first, I was more conscious of it. I said, oh, that's wonderful, that's wonderful, that's wonderful. But then I got to the point where it expanded so to such a great degree that God gave me a vision. All I could see was the glory of God. I could still see it. It's a glory cloud. And I could just see this little bit of activity. It's a lot of activity, but I mean, I could just barely see activity behind it. And that symbolizes the individual obedience of believers in this last hour. But that glory cloud kept expanding and expanding and expanding, until the earth could hold us no more. You know, I'm not going to go into this today, but, you know, with each passing day, it just seems to that it's a very, very great foolishness for people who are preaching things or holding things that are totally apart from the Father's heart. And it only indicates one thing. They're just not in right relationship with him. And if they're going to stand in a place in the pulpit and minister, they'd better be in right relationship with him in this last hour, because we've already seen it. Strange things are coming out of the mouths and hearts of people who have opened the door to the devil to deceive them. In this last hour, we must be a people who hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't ever want to hear anybody confess, I can't hear the Holy Spirit. If you can't hear the Holy Spirit, you're not tuned into the right station, because he's broadcasting all the time. And it's extremely important that we, again, this positioning, that we come into that place. You know, I'm not talking about sometimes we'll go and seek God and we'll be seeking something, and he doesn't speak that quickly at times. Well, we don't need to be concerned about that, because, again, like I've said before, we have to have faith that we know what we need to know in any given moment, period. You know, I mean, people get in the flesh, well, I have to know this, I have to know that. No, you don't. If God hasn't revealed it, you don't need to know it. And, of course, if you put yourself in that spiritual positioning, you will know by faith, you will have a divine assurance in your heart that you know what you need to know. I mean, that's a key. Because the devil can use that as a distracting tactic. He'll make you think you don't know something you need to know, and then you're going to spend all your time seeking it. And there's the distraction. You're out running around. And when you do get to something, you're going to mentally ascend to it. And he has all these schemes out there, but he's just going to be taken down in this last hour, particularly, of course, initially in the lives of those who are wholly given to God. The local church shall become a reality in the earth through an abiding, perfect obedience on the part of those in leadership, continually drawing or elevating all those up, all those who are called to a specific position or work within the body of Christ, into that specific work by the spirit of love, which is the spirit of obedience and truth or righteousness. Now, we've talked a lot about the fivefold ministry, and to me, the key line in that whole section in Ephesians 4 is that we might all come to the unity of the faith. I mean, and I've preached this before at conference and other places, and the fact is, we need to see ourselves as the Father sees us, and that's equal in his sight. Another revelation that if a Christian will grab hold of that and stand on that, they'll never have a problem with self-exaltation. They'll never get into that condemnation. They will know, they'll have that deep assurance in their heart that the Father loves us all equally, and that every position in the body of Christ, it doesn't matter what it looks like, is equal, of equal importance to the end-all result. Now see, the things I'm speaking to you, you have to have that revelation in your heart. Because if people don't have these absolute revelations of the kingdom in their heart, then the devil has ground to come in there and move them through fear or jealousy or whatever it is. We cannot be those people anymore, and we will not be those people anymore. Obedience in every small detail concerning the daily operation of carrying out the Father's business shall cause those he has ordained to appear on the scene. Now remember, we're talking about the establishment of the local church. See, the beauty of this is, it's not by the hand of man. It's totally by the Spirit of God. It's totally by people obeying. And God has begun a great work here, and is continuing that great work here, and it's about to accelerate to a great degree. And so this is what I mean. So he'll cause those he has ordained to appear on the scene. Oh, the devil tries to get people to appear on the scene. But I'm telling you this, in a very short time, he will not be able to get volunteers to enter into the true spiritual environments. They will not be able to stand the glory. That's the absolute truth. Absolute truth. He had the same problem in the time of Jesus' earthly ministry. They came and they asked him questions, trying to trick him and trick him and trick him. And finally, it said that basically the Pharisees who were sending the people couldn't get anybody else to come. They didn't ask him any more questions. And the same thing's going to happen, only to a greater degree here on the corporate level. So they'll appear on the scene and they'll do their part in his perfect ordering and timing. And they will come with the revelations that he's placed in their heart burning brightly. Revelation is the key. Revelation burning in the heart of the believer will distinguish them from those who don't have revelation. Those who do not have revelation knowledge in their heart are stumbling around in darkness, even though the devil has them deceived into thinking that they're accomplishing great things. They're not. That is about to come to light in this hour. So we need to be a people who have revelation. Turn over to Ephesians 5. Now, I just want you to block out the first part of this verse today, because that's not what I'm talking about. It's a whole teaching by itself. And we're gonna skip over the first few words of verse 25. And it says, Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Okay, that's the principle I want you to get. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. That he might present to himself the church in all her glory. That means all that she was created to be before the foundations of the earth, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. That's what we need to have emblazoned in our heart. That's the heart of the Father. And that's what will be established. There are days where it seems like there's going to be about six people included in that. I'm just being blatant. But the fact is that it's the Father's desire for every one of his children to enter into this place. And we need to have that revelation burning within us. As I said earlier, we've been far too tolerant as a body, or tolerant, of any manifestation of sin and death in our midst, or death and darkness in our midst. And we need to be a people, and of course, individually. And this, again, is where the importance of the inner chamber comes in. When we're in that place daily, then not only is the word stored up in our heart, and one of the psalmists said that, you know, I've stored your word up in my heart that I may not sin against thee. It's the word. It's God's empowerment that keeps us from sin. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we have to have this Christ inside us consciousness, this Holy Spirit-empowered consciousness, because we cannot do anything by ourselves. The things that have passed for church activity in the past won't go on anymore. They will be exposed exactly for what they are. But the people who have opened their heart wholly to God will be totally empowered by him to do those great and mighty exploits. In most cases, it's been the leadership in the church through a holding to sin or rebellion in their own lives, self-desire, self-agenda, that have allowed demonic forces to move virtually unchallenged in the midst of many congregations of God's people. Just stop and think about that for a second. That is a horrible thing in light of what Christ has done for us at the cross. Again, the elevation of God's people is the prime task of the fivefold ministry. And going back to that scripture, Christ gave himself up for the church. Any true servant of God is going to put God first and others first, all others first, in their life and ministry. That's how it works. It is only from the position of abiding in the ascension life. Now, the ascension life, all right, we talk about the new birth, we talk about resurrection life. The ascension life is simply a term that describes when Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, he entered into the fullness of his authority, the fullness of the authority which he in turn gave to the church, and that's the place, as I started out talking on, where we need to be found abiding. We need to be found abiding there. We need to bring every thought captive to that revelation and the things that are based on that revelation, because that will keep us in this position and not this position, because in between are the principalities and powers. I said this, I believe, the last time I taught, but when this conflict begins in its fullness, the church is going to begin to rain down on the principalities and powers, spiritually speaking, from that position. Devastating. And we're talking shock and awe. We saw the type in the natural, and it is absolutely going to shake the thrones there. Well, the false thrones are probably cardboard boxes. Shake those thrones. But, and I said this before, what the Father showed me was that then they will be scattered, but they're just going to helter-skelter start raining down their evil on the people who are in the world, so to speak. And you can count on the fact that if there's any children of God in that position, he's going to go after them first. So we need to be a people who are here. And when the church, glorious church, begins to move, we are going to rain down on those principalities and powers, and Satan will spend the rest of his time fleeing in terror from the glorious church. So, again, we choose where we're going to be as Christians. We need to choose here. It's not that God loves any of his children any more than others, but it's always been a matter of positioning. First of all, our positioning in proximity to him, and then from there, the perfect positioning that allows us to overcome in all things. And then, from that position, of course, then we're empowered to set the captives free. And again, I'm talking about truly free. The evangelistic effort in this last hour will be the pure, unadulterated power of God flowing forth. And I don't want to catch anybody worrying about somebody that God's given them to pray for. And I'm going to go on to talk a bit more about that, because the power, the seeds of intercession, the seeds of faith and love that have been planted are going to set the captives free. And we'll talk about that in a bit. In this time, things are going to begin to move swiftly. Again, there's another aspect of acclimatization. If you are properly acclimatized to God and to the Father's heart, it's not going to affect us. We're going to move right with the flow. Sometimes there's a stop. Sometimes there's a go. But either way, we're always in that right position, moving. Again, the magnificence and power and splendor of what God is desiring to do and is going to do is just incomprehensible to the natural mind. As a matter of fact, I can qualify that statement by simply saying this. The greatest outpouring of God's Spirit this earth has ever seen. That alone should confirm the fact that we cannot look out anywhere and see or even begin to understand the magnitude of what God is doing. We've had glimpses throughout the church age. And we've had types and symbols and patterns in the Old Testament. I mean, many people will look at the early church or they'll look back at the great works of the prophets of old and they'll be in total awe, almost to the point of being paralyzed. We need to be a people who realize that God was setting those things in motion so we could do greater works. If Jesus himself said that we do greater works, then how can we be found not believing that? Four characteristics. I'm going to expand on this in the next ministry letter, but the Father showed me four chief characteristics that will be the spontaneous manifestation of the heart that's wholly given in this last hour. They are power. They all go together. They're inseparable because it's all the Spirit of God. But power, fire, godly zeal, and clarity. Without those four things in manifestation, people are walking in less than the fullness of God's purpose. And they're expressing a plan that's not of Him. That's the absolute truth. The clarity aspect in itself, I think I shared this, I can't remember when, but basically it's this. You'll see different prophecies coming forth, and what happens is the words will be correct, but there will be no power. That power is there to change and elevate the heart that's hearing, and there will be no clarity. It's a simple thing, clarity is, but I'll tell you, it's something you either have or you don't in this last hour as a Christian. And so these four things will manifest in whatever form, whatever fashion, in the life of the heart that's wholly given. Very, very important. It's a good way to check things out. We are to be a people of no fear in this last hour. We've talked at great depth about that, about faith, the need to walk by faith. The simple fact of the matter is that Romans 14:23b says, whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. An absolute kingdom principle. One that I believe God placed exactly where he did in that letter to the Romans, because it's kind of in an obscure place. And it's one of those scriptures that people just gloss over. Well, he couldn't mean that, or they think he's talking about something else. No, he's not. Whatever does not proceed from faith or love, because faith works by love, is sin. And so right there, you get the absolute standard that God has for us. But again, the good news is when he commands us, he empowers us. So if he's commanded us to walk in perfect obedience, then the empowerment's there to do it. All he needs is our heart. It's all he ever needed. All right. Now, I'm going to share this. I'm actually going to read this. I'll stop and if he wants me to expand on it. But I want to get this vision out because this thing will expand and expand and expand. But this was the basic vision that he gave me. And this is what I wrote down in the summer of 97. I just set a bit of the stage here. I was at a place I'd spent 13 straight years in obedience to the command to pray for the establishment of the glorious church and for godly leadership in the glorious church. And as I did that, day after day after day after day, I began to get a revelation of the Father's heart concerning the glorious church, and it began to expand and expand and continue to expand. But at the same time, in the natural, things went exactly the opposite way to what he was showing me. That's how I learned to walk by faith. You know, and I mean, I look back now, and if he had told me what was going to happen, I'd have quit before I started, because it would have been too much. But the fact was, 14 years later, I'd come to this spot in the summer of 97, and as the different teachings go on, I'm believing God will allow me to share some more things about that. But at this particular moment in time, I was in a box about as big as I was, and there was darkness on every side. I had no connection with the church other than one or two people that God had gloriously connected me with for my sanity. I had a revelation of the need for the corporate fellowship, but I couldn't see it. Everywhere I looked, everything he showed me what was wrong in the church and why these things had been established. And so it was a difficult place, and I had absolutely no idea what was going to happen next. And the one thing that I remember back there that was really heavily on my heart was I kept seeing the denominational church, and I knew in my heart that the church was not called to go in there and evangelize the denominations. I knew that, but I couldn't see for the life of me how it could be done any other way. Now, I'm not saying people don't go in, to speak to people in denominations, but I'm saying that's not the thrust of this. And then God revealed this vision to me, and it set everything on course these past 6 years have been established from this basis, and a number of other things that happened. In early July 1997, I was standing in the back of the local bookstore talking with the owner about denominations and their detrimental effect on the end time plan of God when the Holy Spirit opened my eyes. Now, I can remember that day just as clear as crystal, and I was standing there back there talking, and something was really on my heart, and it wasn't in a matter of condemning the denominations. I mean, I don't know if I'll get into that today, but I will get into it at some point. It was a matter of wanting these people to be free, wanting to experience what God had called them to be. There was a lot of people out bashing people. They had a revelation of the body of Christ, and they knew denominations were wrong, but because they didn't have the love of God in their heart, they just kept saying, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. They were judging these people in the same spirit those people were operating in. And they themselves were under the spirit of denominationalism, even though they had cute little fellowships and so on and so forth, assemblies. But in reality, they were under the very same spirit they were condemning. Another kingdom principle, Romans 2:1. When people speak out of a spirit of accusation or spirit of condemnation, they are speaking out of the thing that is in their own heart. It has nothing to do with spiritual reality. So we have to understand that we're to walk in love. So this was heavily on my heart. And so I didn't know what was going to happen next. And I was standing there, and I just looked out the window, and God opened my eyes. And I saw in the spirit, for lack of a better expression, a small mass of glory. It looked like a large glob of radioactive material. You know, I could still see that. It's like the best. It's like lava, only much brighter and much more powerful and radiant. But that's what it was like—a big glob in the heavenlies over the city. The Father spoke to me and told me that this mass over the city was the glory of God residing in those of His servants who were continually seeking to abide in perfect love. Now, see, it's an interesting thing here, because in that time, it was a very small mass, and that represented a very small number of believers who were actually by faith walking in that place of the ascension life, being seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places with Christ. So He viewed them as being there. It didn't matter what it looked like outwardly or how spiritual they looked outwardly. That was their heart position. So He accounted them in that position of ascension. And that should tell you something. Now, we've been a lot more refined since then. In the last 6 years, of course, we should be growing every day. But if the heart attitude is right, then God accounts them in that position. So don't worry about being trapped in the world. I mean, a Christian should know whether they're trapped in the world or not. All right. Now, so over the city was the glory of God residing in those of His servants who were continually seeking to abide in perfect love, and that through their continued obedience, He was able to begin to establish small pockets of true believers. As each one of these hidden pockets continued in obedience to His will for their lives, both individually and corporately, He would bring them together by the Holy Spirit. There's the glorious connections. That's where the root of the revelation of the glorious connections came. He would then begin to establish His true government in the midst of these called out ones. Now, we're not there yet, but we're going to get to be talking about divine government. But again, it's very simple. The divine government that God is establishing this last hour is simply the elevation by the Spirit working through those who are obedient and wholly given to Him, and it will be established totally by the Holy Spirit, not by men saying, oh, well, here's Joe Schmo. Yeah, you should be over here because, boy, you're really anointed, and you should be over here. It's not that way at all. And, you know, two things happen. One, the revelation of God's desire to gloriously connect His people for His highest kingdom purposes came about. And what happened? A few people obeyed, and they got it. And what did the rest of them do? They started to form apostolic networks.
Now, I'm not sitting here saying anything against people who did something in obedience to God. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of networks that if all it did was cause a network of deception, of deceit, and confusion in the body of Christ, and the fire's going to hit that first because they were those who should have known better. But anyway, let's on to the... I don't like dwelling on the negative, but God's going to take care of the negative. But we have to understand that every time God puts a revelation into the earth, the devil's going to try and counterfeit it. He's going to look for people to do it. So if he finds anybody with any sort of self-promoting spirit, then he can move on those quite easily. And they say, that's wonderful. We know it's of God. Let's do this, 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 and this. And they run with the ball. That's why we have the whole mess that we have up until this point in the denominational circles. Next week, obviously, I'm going to talk more about the spirit of denominationalism. And again, every time God has me speak about something that's wrong, he's going to bring forth his ultimate plan or his highest purpose. So we can move that out and replace it with the highest purpose. Now, there's some amazing things I saw in this vision. There wasn't a trace of guile found in these people. This is what I saw, the people within the mass. And these people were from all walks of life. I mean, what people would look on as sort of lowlifes, as far as the world goes, or even wealthy people. It didn't make any difference. These were just simply people giving their hearts loyal to God. And God looks upon the heart. We should never be caught looking upon circumstances, outward circumstances. We should never look upon even the activities of people or what their position is, because God is establishing every position in the church and has established every position in the church in this last hour. And Ephesians 2:10 basically says we'll just walk right into it. They're prepared beforehand. It's important to get the horse before the cart instead of, trying to be pushing our own thing. God has established this. These people were non-religious, and there was not a trace of guile within them. They were pure hearts, and they were fearless. Those two go hand in hand. They had no fear of man or demon. They were truly a sight to behold. The Father then showed me that as these groups came together, they would begin to attract, and it was like a magnet, draws a magnet, certain others, in many cases street people, and in other cases those who had been called out of a particular denomination and had set themselves apart to the Father and his word to seek his highest calling for them. Now, it's extremely important to begin to understand the power of love. It is the greatest force in this universe. It is God himself. God is love. And the fact is that he showed that in that vision, it's like a magnet. And people will be drawn. Those people whose hearts are towards God will be drawn. Because I'm not going to go into the physics part of it because I don't know that. But they'll be drawn. But those who are at the other end or the other pole, they will be repelled, the spirit of rebellion. They'll be repelled from that love. So it will be a drawing to for those whose hearts are towards God and a repelling of all those whose hearts maintain rebellion. That's what's going to happen in this last hour. That part of that manifestation will be the civil war, but it won't be a long war. But it will be a great drawing in from all walks of life. I can yet not even begin to tell you how many times throughout the years I've been walking down the street and the Father will just say to me, see that woman over there? She's not far from the kingdom. See that man over there? He's not far from the kingdom. And I pray for them and go my merry way. He's got this thing in order. Our job is to pray in obedience with the desires of his heart, pray by revelation. But there's going to be a tremendous drawing of people. Don't be moved by what people are doing. Pray for them, be directed by God, but know that those whose hearts in this last hour are towards God will be drawn by this great love that's going to come forth through the true church. The one thing that these, for the most part, young people, I saw a mass of young people. Now I'm not talking about every environment, because it's different. There's different environments for different purposes. But I will say this, on the overall scale of the corporate church, and we've heard this prophesied before, there is going to be a great revival in the midst of the youth. And that troubled me in the beginning, because I thought, well, these people, and I didn't know what I know now, even back in 97, I didn't understand the power of the third day anointing at that point to the degree I do now. But I thought, well, okay, now you're going to get all these young people and just born again. Aren't they going to be immature, irresponsible? But the Father said two things to me. He answered it in two parts. One, he said, the power of the anointing will be so strong, these people will be born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized in fire, and begin to walk immediately in the fullness of faith towards the revelation they have. That will tell you something. But I still said, well, doesn't it say in the scripture that there should be overseers or people, you know, in a position like the mature? He said, that's where the people I've established over the years leading to this great outpouring of my spirit will come in. So consequently, and I've said this to you, I've prophesied it over this congregation, that the people here are called ultimately to be overseers. Overseers of what? You'll have to find that out yourself. But you will be overseeing people who will be carrying out things. Very, very important. All right. And of course, this included middle-aged and elderly were there also. That's good news. But what they had in common was this. Regardless of their previous station in life, they were all called to the fivefold ministry. Now, that was one part of it. We're all called to apostolic ministry in this last day. But these people here, in the initial stages, many of them were called as prophets to go forth and so on and so forth, and would be established. Because, you know, many in previous generations, God has spent a lot of time establishing ministries. I mean, I remember Kenneth Hagin in particular. He started out and he started as a Baptist minister, and of course they don't have any prophets in the Baptist church. So he had a bit of a hard time when God came to him and spoke, and it was 40 years almost, I think, before he actually came to the part where he understood that he was a prophet of God. And I mean, really understood it. And then the next generation came in after that, and they were about half that time. And then the next generation came after that, and they were about half that time. And the thing is just going down like that, so that now, when people come into the kingdom, they won't have to go through 20 years of going around the mountain, like I did and others did. They are going to come in and they're going to get this. And Satan really did himself in. One terrible mistake he made as far as his plan went was he decided, okay, if I can just keep people, young people, unchurched, they'll be fine. Keep them away from Jesus at all cost. And he did. And guess what? There's a void there that's just ready to be filled. They don't have to get rid of all that religious junk. I'll tell you, the worst place for a person to be in, worst state of heart for a person to be in this earth is a religious control by religious spirit. Because they believe they're right, and who are they going to listen to? So these people are going to come forth, and they're going to be filled with the Spirit of God, and they're going to begin to operate. So this will all be established by the Spirit of God. Okay. They were all called to the fivefold ministry, and the Lord made it evident to me that it would be these young ones, as well as the established, at least in the sight of the Lord. We're not talking about people established by men. We're talking about people who were ordained by God. Apostles and prophets that had been in intense intercession for them for many years in virtual obscurity that would form the true church government over the local churches. The established apostles and prophets would oversee these powerful young leaders or servants from day to day. And again, in this last hour, the whole principle is, and it's the same principle as the inner chamber that we speak on an individual level, people go into the presence of God, go out. Come into the presence of God, go out. I don't mean he's leaving you. I just mean for that perfect empowerment daily, and you go out. And it'll be the same way in the glorious church in this last hour. These young teachers and these young men and women of God will partake of the glory and the true spiritual environments. Then they will go out to where they're supposed to go and do what they're supposed to do. And each individual case is different. Some may stay in that place all the time. But you see, it's going to be God's power that establishes this thing. And the next thing I saw was, I didn't do that. My goodness. How much time? Oh, good. I got time. And then the second part of this was, it was the very next day, I was walking through the city. And I could take you to the place where I was walking on the street, and I was right beside a Catholic church. And all of a sudden, I saw these people fly up through the top of the roof in the spirit. And I thought, that's strange. And I wasn't sure what that meant. And then through the day, because I was walking all through the city, and believe me, in any given city, how many different churches are there? A lot. And everyone, when I got near it, people. In some churches, very few came up. In other churches, almost everybody came up. And so God explained it this way to me. And this goes back to this power. Remember now, we've got this mass of glory up there, which is representative of the true local church, which is those who are wholly given to God, walking in perfect obedience. And so they're up there. And this is where they were being drawn to. Why? Because their heart turned towards the Lord. They finally got tired of all the bondage and fear and control and darkness that is found in these unspiritual places or denominations. So they came right up through the roof of the building they belonged to, and they joined the rapidly expanding mass of God's glory in the heavenlies. And I said, this was above all the principalities and powers and every force of darkness. There were Catholics, Presbyterians, Anglicans, Pentecostals, Methodist church members, and certain other fellowships. Those were those other assemblies or fellowships I talked about. The Lord said in that moment that he would have nothing to do with anything that had been built and established by the hand of the flesh. But the one thing that I clearly noticed was that at least a few, and in some cases most, came out of every denomination and fellowship to partake of the true work of the Lord. And that's that spiritual positioning up top. It's from that position that the true local church will be established. People have had the revelation of the true local church, but unfortunately they tried to put their own hand on it, and it just became another mess. But that's not going to happen in this last hour, because God's taking over. And the rate of increase that was taking place was almost incomprehensible. To even someone who had been believing for this for very many, many years, further attempts on my part to explain this inexplicable work and the glorious outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this time of the establishment of the true local church are not possible, as these things are completely override the limited thought patterns of the finite mind. I literally have no words to do justice to this soon coming explosion of God's love and power. And the key to this was that this increase, it was all pure, it was all ordered by God, it was all people moved by the Holy Spirit. And at the time this was taking place, there was a tremendous outpouring of God's Spirit, and of course this was causing more increase, and it was a real cycle. And you know, it's amazing. I mean, people can wonder how much time we have left. And I shared this vision before. I'll do it again. God showed me a snowball at the top of a big mountain, a long, steep incline. And it was just a little snowball starting out. And it was made of that same material that I mentioned with that mass in the heavenlies. And that thing began to roll down the hill. And it picked up more and more. It became larger and larger. It gained more and more momentum. That's exactly what's going to happen, spiritually speaking, to the church in this last hour. And again, I go back to I cannot get away from this. We need to be acclimatized, because the presence of God that's coming is going to be outstanding. And, of course, he's making every provision for us to be acclimatized. And, I think I'll just start in on this, and then, we'll start in on this. Okay, I talked to you before about the denominations and the fact they're an abomination to God. So we should really define that. What does that actually mean in the eyes of the Father? I mentioned earlier that the denominational structure in its many forms has served only to keep vast numbers affixed to a strong dependence or self-dependence. That's what it keeps. That's the devil's plan. It's not just a nice-looking church in the corner. That's the devil's plan, is to keep them in bondage. You know, I mean, after a person gets born again, I mean, he's just got to start to begin to keep control. Because if he doesn't, ultimately, what's going to happen to him? And he knows it. He's going to run face to face with them walking in the fullness of their authority in Christ. And he's facing Jesus again, and Jesus again, and so on and so on. And he knows that. He knows what's coming. So he's trying to keep people in control and make it look good, make it look like they're serving God. So if you want to define the spirit of denominationalism, it's defined as the exalting of any name above the name of Jesus in spirit. That could be a spirit of idolatry or a spirit of self-exaltation. Those are the two main spirits working in that lie. It's not just because somebody called it the first church of this or the first church of that. It's the spirit behind that organization. And it is an organization, but it's being organized by man. The true local church is a church which is both foundationalized and sustained by revelation knowledge, without exception, and the love and obedience that are its spontaneous byproduct. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Again, I mentioned denominations are an abomination to the heart of the Father. They never were or never will be part of the true plan of the Father for the glorious church and the kingdom. Never. I mean, do you want to know why the Civil War is going to be short? Because the foundation that the people that Satan is going to use are standing on is absolutely made up of hay and wood and stubble. And when fire meets that, it's not going to stand at all, and it's not going to remain when it's done. Many are being called out of any form of religious structure that they have been in or involved with, and the Father is leading them to and connecting them with certain handmaidens and bondservants, that's the true sons and daughters, in order for them to enter into the proper spiritual environment, which will promote the perfect spiritual growth necessary for them to fulfill their destiny in Christ. You see, when you get right down to it, everything that we've been experiencing is so simple, so glorious. I mean, what God has established. You know, coming into the true spiritual environments, we're a people that are far more prepared than we even know right now. But we know by faith we are prepared. And the fact is that when the Father wants to move, he's going to be able to move through a people who are faithful and obedient. I mean, we've seen, this is what God called it, the plateau of respectability and comfort that kills. That's what he likened people in the church who had, and that's where the denominational structure began, was people had a revelation, went so far, but plateaued. You know, just believe the lie of the enemy. And really, it's the failure to put oneself in a position to gain a revelation or an absolute revelation of the divine requirement to love the Lord your God with all your heart, to be holy as he is holy. And so they stop. And that's why, and we saw it in the type and symbol in Korah's rebellion, Moses came down with the revelation of holiness. And they said, who do you think you are? We are holy. And that's exactly the same thing that's going to happen. It's the perfect type and symbol of what's going to happen. The third day church is coming down with a revelation of holiness and the absoluteness of God and his requirements. And they're going to say, what do you mean? Look at all the great works we've done. Look at all the money we've raised. Look at all this. And they'll say, who do you think you are? And they'll accuse us of being, and this is the word the Father gave me, apostolic elitists. But in reality, they're speaking out of their very own heart. And that's exactly what's in their heart. Our job, of course, is to remain humble before the Lord and to walk in perfect love. So we have to be ready for these things. We've talked about that too, the need to be acclimatized in his love to such a great degree that when forces outside of that love come against us, we're not moved by it. Nobody said it was pleasant, but the fact is God has empowered us to come to a place where we will not be moved by what we see or feel or hear or think. We'll be moved by the revelation knowledge that's rising up, those spiritual impulses rising up from the Holy Spirit through our spirit, affecting our entire being. That's the way the system works. It's the only way it works as far as true kingdom service goes. Then he talked to me about no old wineskins. Again, getting back to these works that have been established by people moving in the flesh, in the mind of the flesh. It's coming. Hay, wood, and stubble meeting fire. And, you know, it's from this point of the release of this anointing, this fire, this light, that people will repent and come into a place where they'll enter into their true destiny for their life. And they won't be caught up in that foolishness. You know, we're in a time of a true spiritual paradox. And that is that while it is late, it is very early. And while it is still early, it is very late. And so consequently, when you think about it, God has established true spiritual environments and raised up pioneers to lead, you know, these beginnings, these small beginnings, as far as the church goes. And yet we know from the heart of the Father, it's late. It's time to enter in. There's coming a day, an appointed time of judgment that God is going to move in such a way. And I've said this before, wherein people will be caught where they are. And if you're walking in the right place, it's a glorious time of reward and blessing. And that blessing, of course, all for the purpose of empowerment to fulfill the job perfectly. So I'll stop there now. I'll pray, but I'll stop there now, and then we'll continue on with this and see where the Holy Spirit takes us. Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father, that you've elevated us and given us a clear vision of the fact we need to see ourselves seated at your right hand with Christ in the heavenly places. And we thank you, Father, for all the wonderful preparation you've done in our lives as far as our true kingdom service goes. And we thank you, Lord, that great signs and wonders will go forth and confirm these days ahead as we walk in faith and obedience. And we give you all the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.